This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. We do this every Monday and Thursday night at 6:15 p.m. Central Time right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. And if you miss it, we have you covered in podcast form the next day on Apple and Spotify. But however you listen, make sure you're liking, subscribing, giving us a good review, because we never want you to miss a new episode. My name is Chris Shan. I am a contributor at the Viking Age, as well as Zone Coverage, to bring me the news. And on your right is my co-host, Adam Patrick, who is the managing editor of the Viking Age podcast. And we are on the eve of Vikings training camp. But let's start with a little big news outside of the world of football to start with, because WWE announced this morning that Triple H will oversee all creative decisions moving forward. Of course, Vince McMahon, who used to run WWE, has a hush money scandal right now and retired or resigned, whichever word you want to use. They're going with retired, which figures. But I want to start with this because I see a lot of parallels between this and the Minnesota Vikings. And I just want you to see if I'm crazy or not. You know, you got a guy who takes over a new company or team and he sees a lot of success right away. So Vince McMahon had the Attitude Era, right? You had The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, Triple H. Awkward. But Zimmer wins a couple of division titles with a whole bunch of other young and up-and-coming talent, such as Eric Kendrick, Xavier Rhodes, Harrison Smith, that entire defense, basically, Anthony Barr. Then he gets old. The product gets outdated. Vince started using nostalgia acts and part-timers as champions. Zimmer kept trying to find ways to bring him back with these exotic contracts and trying to find the next. And maybe each of them should have retired years ago, but change is finally here. So Triple H is coming for WWE, and Kevin O'Connell is coming for the Vikings. Younger guy gets his chance, makes some changes, and they skyrocket to success. Do you see where I'm getting at here, or am I just stretching because I want to talk wrestling?
No, I've actually kind of felt similar to your thoughts, like just watching the whole thing kind of go down and how people are looking at Vince McMahon retiring or stepping down or whatever as more of an opportunity for, you know, WWE to become more modern and embrace some of the things that today's fans enjoy rather than, you know, repeating the same storylines over and over and over again. Which is similar to what the Vikings were doing under Zimmer, where it was like, okay, this worked 4 years ago, so this will work now. You know, this worked before, why isn't it working now? And it's getting, because it got stale. And that was something that Mike Zimmer probably wishes he would have done, is just, you know, be able to adapt. And he always says that he added some new wrinkles here and there in his defense, but for the most part, it was pretty much the same. But now they get, you know, young Kevin O'Connell in there, more modern approach to an offense, even more modern approach to the defense. So yeah, there's a bunch of similarities between the two, and the hope is that both of them will, you know, WWE will become even more. It's already very popular, but it certainly is not as popular as it probably could be. And same thing goes for the Vikings. They have a giant fan base, but and they're talented, but they're certainly not as successful as they could be. And the hope is that this new younger approach, not that Triple H is very young, he's in his 50s, but he's more in touch, I believe, with what the modern wrestling fan wants than Vince McMahon was. And the same thing goes for Kevin O'Connell. He's more in touch with what the players want on the field than Mike Zimmer was. So yes, very similar. You're not crazy. I was thinking along the same lines when all this was going down last week. And then I sat back and I was like, this is like even if you don't follow wrestling, this is gigantic news. This is Vince McMahon. He turned this company from, you know, pretty much nothing into a multi-billion-dollar company. So him stepping down is just huge, because a lot of the people, a lot of the, you know, you look at AEW, that probably wouldn't even be around if it wasn't for Vince McMahon. So as much as people are happy to see him go, he set up and a lot of the building blocks and a lot of the reasons why we like pro wrestling today. And hopefully Kevin O'Connell is able to do something similar with the Vikings moving ahead in the future.
It's really interesting because I was listening to Busted Open, which, yes, of course, that is a wrestling podcast name. But they had the two Wall Street Journal.
Could be a hockey podcast.
Definitely could be a hockey podcast, I guess. Although, what is it? Spit and Chicklets? That's that's a great pod, too. But they were talking to the two journalists that actually broke the Vince McMahon story, where he paid hush money to a paralegal that he had sexual affair with.
The Wall Street?
Yep, the Wall Street Journal. And they had said, you know, if this was like an NFL owner, this would be like a huge story. It's a huge story on its own merit. But I think because of its on-screen character, a lot of people are just kind of like, well, whatever. And I mean, to Mike Zimmer's credit, I just want to clarify, he never had anything like this. Like, you know, secret things behind the scenes.
He's dating a Maxim model. So
I was about to bring that up too. But I mean... It's not cheating on his wife as he's dating the Maxim model. Right. I mean, the wife, rest her soul. Yeah. But anyway, we're going down a slippery slope here, so we should probably just move on to a segment we brought towards the beginning of this podcast, but we kind of lost it over the offseason. Yep. It is called Checking Down with Kirk Cousins, because you know why.
Hey, maybe we can change it. Maybe we can change it after the upcoming season.
Deep shots with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, titled, you know, tentatively named, hopefully.
F it, Justin Jefferson is down there somewhere with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, let's do it.
So anyway, the Madden 22 quarterback ratings came out on Friday, and everybody wanted to know where Kirk Cousins is ranked because we're starving for football and we're all basically bored. We'll start with the top-rated quarterbacks in this year's game. Tom Brady is a 97, Aaron Rodgers is a 96, Patrick Mahomes is a 95, Josh Allen's a 92, Joe Burrow's a 90, Dak Prescott's an 89, and Justin Herbert is an 88. Lamar Jackson's at 87, as is Russell Wilson, and Matthew Stafford is at 85. Excuse me while I change the page here. Deshaun Watson's an 84, as is Kyler Murray. Hall of Fame quarterback Derek Carr is an 83, at least according to Devontae Adams. Ryan Tannehill's at 83. Matt Ryan is at 81. And Kirk Cousins at quarterback number 16 is an 80 rating. Perfectly balanced, as all things should be with Kirk Cousins. Did Madden get this right?
I mean, people are going to have their problems. It's a Madden rating. I don't think it's right or wrong. Like, this is a video game. I know there's nothing to talk about in July, but I'm more concerned about what maybe some people like a Peter King or Mike Sando is saying about Kirk Cousins rather than the Madden rating. Because it's just like, if a Madden rating is like a compilation of a bunch of things like that they factor in, like as far as like all of your skills. Like Lamar Jackson is probably going to be rated higher than Kirk Cousins, regardless of how good of stats Kirk Cousins has, no matter what, just because of the sheer amazing ability that the video game ability that Lamar Jackson has. So he's always going to be someone that's rated higher. I did feel kind of vindicated with these ratings though, because Tom Brady is the highest rated quarterback. And I rated like the top 32 quarterbacks like a week ago on the Viking Age. And I had Tom Brady at number one. And a lot of people probably be like, what, like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes? And I'm just like, this guy is 44, and he just threw for like 40-some-odd touchdowns, led the league in touchdowns, and that's very impressive. So I just felt kind of vindicated with these ratings. But I'm not going to have – I don't have a problem with where Kirk Cousins is. He's right in that, like, Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan range, you know, It's where he is. Like, that's all those guys you can argue can be interchangeable, but it's nothing different that we really haven't seen other than the exact number. It's nothing really different than we haven't seen already this offseason in terms of rankings for Kirk Cousins.
So we've started off with video games and pro wrestling here on the podcast, which I guess some people are sitting there being like, you losers, whatever. As someone who plays Madden quite frequently, but hasn't bought the game in 2 years because, let's be honest, it sucked. 80's probably the perfect rating because that's what you consider to be an average quarterback. And kind of as you alluded to, and I know Declan Goff did on Purple Daily last week, the average video game player isn't jacked to play with Kirk Cousins. Like, they want a guy that can run around, throw the ball deep, and do all those things. So in that spectrum, Kirk has an 80 rating makes sense. Like, he's a very smart, very accurate quarterback. There's that word again. Go ahead, take a drink if you're playing the Kirk Cousins drinking game. But it's just kind of who he is. And I think a lot of people, you know, nobody's jumping on their PlayStation getting ready to play with Kirk Cousins. Like this is it. They want to play with Dak Prescott where they can run around and throw a bullet 90 yards downfield or Patrick Mahomes. So I think it's right. Like you said, it doesn't really matter. But since we're here in July, since a lot of people are probably going to buy the game on autopilot, I know I will actually do it this year because it sounds like they've made some changes in franchise mode. It's fine. It's whatever. And it can always go up. If Kirk goes out and he starts throwing bombs downfield, guess what? That rating is going to go up and people are going to want to play with Kirk Cousins. And so there you go.
Yeah. I was just looking at it too. And like, that's the reason why Dak Prescott is the sixth best quarterback. No one in the league thinks Dak Prescott is the sixth best quarterback in the NFL. This is a video game rating. This is not, you know, it's not real life. You know, obviously, someone like Kyler Murray is going to have to play a lot less video games now because of the clause in his contract where he has to actually, you know, study film every week. Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah.
So there's an actual clause saying, hey, we'll pay you to study.
He has to have at least 4 hours of film study per week. That's in his contract, which means that he wasn't doing that before because I think Ian Rappaport came out and said like, oh, Kyler Murray's already been doing 4 hours. And it's like, well, then why would they put that in a contract that is worth like 160 odd million guaranteed? I don't think they need to put that in there if he was already doing that. It said things like you cannot study film while you're like watching TV, playing video games or browsing the internet. So that was kind of like, that's kind of something that's been going on the last few hours. So, Kyler Murray might not be able to play Madden as much as, you know, you or I might be able to moving forward.
Yeah, it's almost like a kid when you have to tell him to do his homework. Like, you can't you can't play your Madden until you watch film on the Vikings. Yeah, like, give him a pop.
I mean, 4 hours a week? That's half hour a day? Come on.
Yeah. You know what the best part of that is, too? Like, DeMarcus Russell, like, if they would have thought to put that in his contract, oh, my God, that would have been great because there's the story where they gave him a DVD and they said it was like
John DeFilippo,
the Chiefs or whatever. And he's like, hey, go home and watch this. And then they asked him about it. And like, it was a blank DVD.
Yeah, he still doesn't care about it. He was asked about it. He was on like the Pivot podcast or whatever recently. And they asked him about it. And he was like, yeah, that probably happened. I don't even remember. Like, I don't even care. Like, he doesn't care about it. And that's probably why he failed as a quarterback in the NFL, because he just didn't really care about it. But John DeFilippo was the guy who I believe was the quarterback's coach when that whole thing went down with the blank DVD. But yeah, I just finished watching the Michael Vick documentary too on ESPN. And he said the same thing. Like, when he was coming up in the league, when he was tearing it apart, he wasn't watching film or anything. Like, first thing there, first person in the facilities, last person there. Like, he was just basically going out on the field just playing street ball. So some guys can do that, but a lot of people can't. So clearly the Cardinals want Kyler Murray to watch a little bit more film.
So if you're sitting there saying, well, Chris, that's just a video game, like, it doesn't matter about Kirk Cousins and video games. Well, I have a more specific one because the Athletic released their quarterback tiers for the 2022 season. They polled executives, coaches, and tried to figure out who is the best quarterback in the league. I'm not even going to tease it. We'll get to the top ones later. But Kirk Cousins ranks 15th. He is right on the edge of tier 3. And you're like, Chris, what does that even mean? Well, I will tell you. A tier three quarterback is a legitimate starter, but needs a heavier running game and or defensive component to win. A lower volume drop back passing offense suits him best. Kind of sounds like Kirk Cousins, doesn't it? If there is ever a tier three Hall of Fame, Cousins might hit the first bust. Now, this is the coach talking here. I think he's one of the more accurate passers in the league, Drink. For whatever reason, in big moments, big games, he's not able to get it done. Now, because Kevin O'Connell is going there and their offense is going to open up, they'll maximize what he is. Is he Stafford, who has just been in some bad situations? I think he's a step below. Another head coach called Cousins very skilled, but suffering in natural leadership. Quote, I don't think his players would die for him. Another coach said he would rather have Kirk Cousins than Matt Ryan at this stage. All of this, no lies detected.
No.
According to me, he's both things can be true. He's a very accurate, Drink, technical quarterback. Mm-hmm. And yet there are some holes in his game that prevent him from being an elite quarterback and taking the team to the next level by himself. Now, if he has a good defense, Kirk Stans will let you know, like, it's the defense's fault. It's the offensive line. It's the running back. It's everything. He had bad breakfast. The eggs weren't cooked enough. And the night before, they served mac and cheese. When he eats mac and cheese, they didn't.
You know that? What's that meme? Is it Jericho who has the list? Or there's somebody else in, like, the wrestling ring that has, like, the long list?
He's and the that, man of 1,004 holds. If that's
yeah, it was just about. It just has
since his list of excuses.
Yes. That's what he had, and like people don't want to talk about it, but that's what happened. Like the goalposts are constantly being moved for the supporters of him, and I don't want to say supporters too. Like we don't. It's like not like we're against Kirk Cousins. We're not rooting for him to fail. We all want him to succeed. We root for the Vikings. He's the quarterback of the Vikings, so we want him to succeed. That being said, yeah, none of the stuff you said that was in this article is false. And the thing that bothers me the most might be the one about his players not wanting to die for him. And, you know, that might seem a little drastic, but it's more or less of like guys wanting to run through a wall for this person. You look at someone like Tom Brady, like guys will do literally anything for Tom Brady to be on his team. Like they will take probably little to no money to just play with. Kyle Rudolph just took $2 million for a year.
Yeah,
$2 million to play with Tom Brady. And if he gets a Super Bowl ring at the end of the year, he's not really going to care how much he got paid because he's going to have a Super Bowl ring. And that's the thing with Kirk Cousins. Like, yes, he's accurate. Also, I'd like to know Teddy Bridgewater is a very accurate quarterback, but you know, we're not giving him $40 million a year. But yeah, he's right in the middle. He's where he should be. Now, this year, I think we're going to figure out more is Kirk Cousins more, is he going to be in the mold of Matthew Stafford for the Rams, or is he going to be more in the mold of Jared Goff for the Rams? Which, with Jared Goff, Sean McVay pretty much had to call the plays at the line of scrimmage for Goff because he would give him so many, but then he kind of wouldn't maybe not pick the right one. So I'm curious to see, like, because I've heard that Kevin O'Connell is going to be doing something similar, giving Kirk Cousins two or three plays, you know, to go to the line of scrimmage with and pick whichever one he feels best. If they start to, like, fail, is O'Connell going to be the one to call those plays at the line of scrimmage and not Cousins?
It's kind of like the Ask Madden feature.
Yes.
Like, when you don't want to scroll through all the plays and you're just like, yeah, give me three to choose from. I'll just pick one out of there. Yeah. Like, that's basically what Kevin O'Connell is doing for Kirk Cousins.
Could be.
How about this for an impromptu question? What excuse do you think is the most likely to pop up for Kirk Cousins at the end of this season? Because, like, I don't – is it the offensive line? Is he's got elite running back, elite wide receivers, elite tight end, supposedly. Like, is that it? Elite coaching staff. Forgot about that one.
I think defense – will probably be up there.
Defense.
I mean, I think they should be better. It's pretty hard to get worse than kind of what they were last year. But I think that will be one of the ones. Injuries is always an easy one. You know, Dalvin Cook gets hurt. Herb Smith gets hurt. You know, Thielen gets hurt. That's easy. Just blame that. But there's only like, that's the thing, like with Kirk Cousins, everyone has to deal with injuries. Everyone has to deal with poor play on the other side of the ball. Everyone has to deal with offensive line problems. Like, there is no quarterback that has a perfect situation in front of them, and it's up to that quarterback to figure out a way to, you know, succeed with what he's being given. And so far in Kirk Cousins' career, he's put up nice stats, but that's it. And this year, we're going to get to see if he can do more than that. And if not, then no one's really going to be surprised.
I call him the IKEA quarterback because he needs he needs all the pieces. He needs all the parts, or else you wind up with like 80% of a chair. Mm-hmm. So in case you were wondering,
the and those top chair, tier, and those chairs cost $40 million.
Yeah. Just as expensive. Mm-hmm. The top tier, which is basically the quarterbacks who help their team win because of them. Mm-hmm. That includes Aaron Rodgers, who is number one on the list. Patrick Mahomes, who is actually one defensive coordinator who is super salty and was just like, no, yeah, he's a tier two quarterback. He put him second. Tom Brady, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and Joe Burrow. Like, I think out of this list, like the people who are just like, oh yeah, Kirk's better than Joe Burrow. It's like, what are you watching? Like, the Tennessee game alone, Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times, his headset cut out.
Yeah.
And like, he's just like, ah, screw it, I'll just call the damn plays. Yeah. Like, I'm good. Like, Kirk in that situation, he would have had a wet spot in his pants.
Hey,
like he would have wet himself.
Let's ask Justin Jefferson which quarterback he would like to have, Joe Burrow or Kirk Cousins, because I think the answer is pretty obvious.
Give us some.
He'll be like, oh, they were just teammates. That's why. No, that's not why. Yeah, I'm kind of this whole tier thing, and there was a part in there too about this guy, Lamar Jackson. Like, I feel like he's a tier one guy, and people kind of discount him because he runs so much, but he's good at passing too. Like, he ranked like first in a lot of passing categories last year that, you know, that weren't like passing yards per game and things like that. Like, but he was still a good passer, and I think his excellent running ability just overshadows that, and people still discount him as like this, just this running quarterback when he's a really good passer as well. And I feel like he deserves to be in that tier one. And there was like some random anonymous defensive coordinator that I think everyone pretty much figured out who it was, saying how Lamar Jackson, like he could win like 12 MVPs, and I still wouldn't think he's like a good passing quarterback. It's like, okay, buddy.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson ran a pro style system at Louisville too. Yeah. Nobody seems to remember that. That was the Bobby Petrino system that also produced Teddy Bridgewater, if I'm not mistaken.
Also, if you have Lamar Jackson who runs like that, why would you turn him into a pocket passer? That's right. Like what the Reds, that's like what the, not the, not that team, that's like what Washington tried to do with RG3, and that went terribly. Now, did his injuries probably have something to do with that? Probably, but he is not a pocket quarterback, and they wasted that whole pick on doing that.
Well, hopefully that's the last quarterback tiers conversation we're going to have until next offseason.
Who's done it? Well, has ESPN? They did top 10, right?
Yeah, and I think Kirk got like
a vote.
Vote? Yeah. Like one vote?
They did top 10. The Athletic did it. Who else would even? PFF, they did tiers.
You said you did it.
Yeah, who cares about me? PFF did it. And they did weird tiers too. They did like older quarterbacks and like young guns or whatever. They didn't even do like proper order or whatever. That's all I can think of though, like major outlets. Maybe Football Outsiders? I don't know. But it all seems, Kirk Cousins seems to be in the same spot for all these. 15, 14, 13. He does. He's in a very good spot where, even if he fails, I don't think his ranking is going to drop that much lower. Like, he is who he is right now, and he has a chance to step that up, and it's up to him. It's in his court.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun to find out. It's going to be fun to see what Kirk does, because, like I said, there's so much in his direction. Like, he could go out and throw for 5,000 yards this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not a prediction. I'm just saying that that's in the range of outcomes. Like, Kevin O'Connell unlocks him and he just goes ballistic. There's also a range of outcomes where Kirk looks like he did the first six games of the 2020 season, which I thought about that the other day. And, like, how lucky was Kirk there were no fans in the building that season? Is that the Atlanta game? Oh my goodness. That would have been a disaster. But, I guess good timing.
Zimmer might have had to defend Kirk after that game.
Yeah, it would have been pretty interesting if fans were in the building. Let's move away from the quarterback talk though, and let's talk about a rookie. ESPN's Kevin Seifert predicts that Andrew Booth Jr. will become a defensive starter in training camp. He writes, strictly from a playmaking and skill perspective, Booth was among the best cornerbacks in the draft. His injury history has pushed him into the second round, but he believes that his March hernia surgery has put him on the road to permanent recovery. If that's the case, he goes through training camp healthy. He'll prove good enough to start opposite Patrick Peterson, or at the very least in the nickel package the Vikings will use frequently. Do you agree with Kevin Seifert that that Andrew Booth will start week one for the Vikings?
I agree on one condition, and that's pretty much what he said for why he slipped in the draft, and that's his health. He's got to prove that he can stay on the field. And he said, like, what he's saying, like, his combine press conference, whatever, that, like, is either that or his conference after he got drafted with the Vikings, how he's like, he's been hurt his whole football career, which is true for pretty much every football player, but, you know, he's had more notable injuries than some others. And yeah, he just has to prove that he can stay healthy. And the training staff that the Vikings have now is probably more able to keep him healthier than the old one might have been. So he has that going for him. And then he also has, you know, the more modern philosophy of they're probably not going to practice him into the ground like the Zimmer regime did with their players. So he's got that going for him. But yeah, the talent's there. He's clearly there. He's a second round pick. A lot of people had the first round grade on him. So the talent is there. And I wouldn't be surprised if he did surpass Cameron Dantzler or maybe got the nickel job over Chandon Sullivan. But yeah, he's just got to stay healthy. And that's easier said than done for Mr. Booth.
Yeah, the whole I haven't been healthy since high school thing was kind of a red flag for me. And if Mike Zimmer was here, this kid would have no chance of making the team. I don't care how talented he is. Mm-hmm. Zimmer would have lost his patience at some point and be like, we don't want him. Can't make the club in the top, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that's going to be the number one change when Kevin O'Connell starts running practices this week is that, you know, it used to be this big story when somebody didn't practice in training camp. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, mm-hmm, Dalvin had to sit out a day. Now it's just mm-hmm kind of like, that's going to be the norm because Kevin O'Connell would rather have these guys in like January than in August.
As he should.
So, yeah, 100%. Like that should be the motive of every head coach. Why wouldn't you want to run these?
It's a long season.
Adam Thielen nearly blew his Achilles during a postseason practice. Mm-hmm. Practice.
Did Michael Pierce get hurt in practice? Or was that during
the game? I want to say he did.
Yeah. There's been a lot of.
He got hurt in practice and aggravated it in the
Browns. Mackenzie Alexander, didn't he get hurt in practice like before the playoffs that one year? Mm-hmm. Mike Hughes, like, yeah, a lot of guys got hurt in practice. I don't know. I don't think Sharif Floyd did, but he that was one of Zimmer's favorite persons to rag on. Then he found out that his surgery went bad, and he was like, whoops. Didn't mean to say that.
It's like Mad Max
yeah
in practice.
Yeah, like
got the big timpani drum. Oklahoma drill right now.
Yeah, I think practice. I think a lot of the older guys like Harrison Smith and Thielen and Kendricks are gonna probably appreciate these practices a lot more than and be a lot happier probably after these practices than they were with Zimmer because like you're in Minnesota, it can get pretty hot on those summer days out there, hot and humid. Like, let's not pretend about this. Corey Stringer died because it was so hot in Minnesota. So it's not anything to mess with. So I think this staff's going to take that more into account and not you know, push so hard on these players because they need him for the season. They need him for halfway in the season. They need him for Thanksgiving. They need him for New Year's Eve. They need him for the playoffs. You know, this is not the time to run guys into the ground. There never is a time, but like, just because you do so well in this practice in July or August doesn't mean you're going to be that much better in October or November. You know, it's about like putting the whole thing together. And I think hopefully this coaching staff has a better grasp on something like that than the previous one.
Does this prediction worry you at all about Cameron Antler and Patrick Peterson? Because they're projected as the current starters right now. And to have Booth maybe overtake one of them, like, who's more likely to lose their job? I'll put it that way. Peterson or Antler?
Dantzler, for sure. I know he graded well and everything with PFF, but he still has plenty of hiccups on the field that maybe don't get counted as highly as they should in his grading. But Patrick Peterson, I don't think he's not going to be a starter. I think he'd have to be hurt for that to not happen. But yeah, I think Dantzler is. Dantzler seems motivated too, and that, you know, competition makes everyone better. So if these two are going to go at it and in practice and try and be better than one or the other, then it's just good for the Vikings no matter what. So I think Dantzler is the one that needs to worry, and maybe Shannon Sullivan too, because Seifert mentioned the nickel position. Although I think Booth is more probably better suited for the outside than on the inside, but that's for the Vikings to figure out.
So there we go. I'll play devil's advocate because I'm a little bit worried about Peterson after last year. Because I think he played well. He played fine. But like we said last week, there was a reason the Vikings cut his salary in half. Mm-hmm. And Peterson's excuse was, well, I didn't get into a rhythm. And that's because, not because he was shutting guys down, but you had Bashaud Breeland. You had Mackenzie Alexander, yeah, who were two of the worst corners in the league last season. If Dantzler is even half of what Breeland was, some of those targets are going to go Peterson's way. And can he stop them? We're going to find out. Like, that's basically the slogan for the team this year. We're going to find out. Because any question you have, we're going to find out.
You don't think they would cut Patrick Peterson, do you?
I don't think so.
He's a good locker room guy and everything too. He's good. He's a good veteran to have in there.
I think they would want that veteran presence. And I think sometimes that's overrated, but lunch coming up there. I think with that veteran presence and kind of the wisdom that he brings as a potential future Hall of Famer, like I said, I think they keep him around. I mean, if anything, maybe they talk about him moving into the slot, which would be interesting. But I mean, you already have Shannon Sullivan there, so.
Or even what did they try to do with Newman? Didn't they try to move around to safety towards the end there? That could be maybe something that Peterson. I could see Peterson as a safety even. Not now because they just drafted Lewis Cien. But Peterson's money. He signed 1 year, $4 million, and 3.5 of that is fully guaranteed, so they're not going to cut him.
Well, if Colin Coward has its way, everything will go the Vikings' way in 2022, because he predicted that the Vikings will go 13-4. Now, you may remember that Colin Coward did say that he believed the Vikings would.
He said, or 14-3 too, or 14-3.
Yes, I'm getting to the quote here, but
okay.
Yes. He also said they would double their win total, which would have put them on a 16-1 season. So technically he's going the wrong way. So maybe we should be concerned. But he said, I think Kirk Cousins is going to have a big year. I think the Vikings are going to have an exceptional year. And I'm going to go out on a limb, 13-4 or 14-3. I know you think I'm out of my mind. Mm-hmm. Don't trust the Bears. Don't trust the Lions. And since Kirk Cousins has been there, they have always played Aaron Rodgers straight up. Are you drinking what Colin Coward is serving?
No, I'm not. I don't know what he's drinking at night. He's got like a gallon of purple Kool-Aid every night, but they have too many. They have too many holes, too many problems. Like, could it happen? I guess anything is possible in the NFL. You look at a team like the Niners when Harbaugh got there, and and even a couple years ago when they went 13-3 under Kyle Shanahan, where they had a pretty big turnaround. I just think there's too many holes for them to get 13 or 14 wins. Like, and there's a reason why Colin Cowherd's really like the only one saying this. Everyone else is like 9 wins, 10 wins, maybe 11 wins. People, like, some people still think they can win the division, but they're not going out there mean like 13 wins, 14 wins. Like, really, really good teams win 13, 14 games. Like, the Bucks could win that, the Chiefs, the Bills. Like, those are the teams that probably have the best chance to, not even the Rams. I wouldn't even pick the Rams to win 13 or 14 games next year. It's just too tough in the NFL to win that many games. Do I think they can win the division? Yeah, I do. But do I think they can win 13 or 14 games? I am not as optimistic as Cowherd is. So I would not be putting any money down on a bet like that.
They would have to sweep the NFC North for that to happen, I think.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. That's within the range of outcomes, because we don't know what Green Bay is without Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers is still really good, but what happens there? Detroit, they're going to be tricky, but I don't see them being an NFC North contender. No. And the Bears are just, you know, a dumpster fire, just trying to rebuild everything. Did you see their new stadium proposal too?
Yeah, it looks good, right?
Like, how many times?
It looked pretty good. It looks pretty good, right?
How many times are you going to build over the Soldier Field footprint instead of just tearing it down and building a new one? Because, well, good God.
Didn't they do that in like Miami or something with their stadium? They built it up or whatever. But yeah, it would be. And don't the Packers do that? Didn't the Packers do that?
Yep.
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask me about their alternate uniforms, which.
Oh, that those are.
They look like
those are rough.
Bowling Green. Like, those are not good. Like, some teams have really good. The alternates that are coming out are really good. Like the Panthers with their black helmets and the Bengals with their white helmets. But the Bears, no.
Can we stop with the Viking alternate?
No, we're not going to stop. We're not.
I never. Maybe this is like get off my lawn type thing. But I mean, even like the Bears. Like their blue helmets, like I think maybe I would accept a Bears white helmet. I think that would be kind of cool. Yeah. That would look better than the orange one, I think. But like a yellow Vikings helmet, no. Like a white Vikings helmet, maybe talk me into it. Like a black one, stop with the black. They're not. It's not our color, man.
We just need the throwback with the stripes on the like shoulder blade.
That's all I want. If you want to do a throwback helmet like the Giants and the Patriots did, go for it. Because that's the thing. It's the purple helmet. That's what makes the Vikings unique. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like, I would have to see one that I actually like before I say, hey, go ahead. Like white. I think white for any team, you can maybe talk me into it.
Yeah.
If you give me a good mock-up. But I haven't seen one yet. So, yeah, I mean, I said it myself. The Vikings basically got to sweep the NFC North, and then they got to win 7 or 8 games. Sorry, just trying to figure out my math. But, and I mean, they could do that. They're playing the NFC East. That division's not tough. No. They get the AFC East. I mean, somebody called it Buffalo the Clusters this morning.
I don't know. Don't. One, never sleep on the Patriots because Belichick and the
their offense is being run by Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. Though.
I know, but like, the Vikings have never been good against the Patriots, like in the Belichick era at all. Obviously, the Bills, the Dolphins, that's in Miami. That is not a guaranteed win. You know, at the Eagles, that's not a guaranteed win. They play the Colts, who could be a sneaky good team this year. They like even like the Commanders. Like I wouldn't. That's a sneaky tough away game. They tend to struggle at least one of the games against the Lions. They always struggle on the road against the Bears. They play the Cardinals again this year. So like, I think Cowherd, like one of his main takeaways was like their schedule's pretty easy outside of the division. And I'm like, not really. Like it looks easy now. Like strength of schedule wise, sure, but strength of schedule before the season means nothing. Like, when you get Thanksgiving, it means nothing. So I just think there's the NFC is too not there's no like really tough teams, maybe the Bucks. But the NFC is kind of more even and I've on an even playing field this year, and I feel like it's just gonna make more teams like 11-6 or 10-7 than there's gonna be a 13 or 14 win team.
How many teams do you think were excited to see the Bengals on their schedule at this time last year?
Right. The Vikings were.
We sure as hell were. We're like, week one, easy win, right? And then we lose. And then, you know, it turns out it's like, oh, the team was pretty good.
Yeah.
Went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But anyway, I guess we'll end it on that note. Of course, later this week, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell will address the media.
I know.
Maybe we'll have something to talk about. I don't know. But
I think Kirk Cousins probably be talking on Wednesday or Thursday too.
That ought to give it something. The first two, I'm not sure. Kirk will say something where it's like, okay.
Hmm. But did you watch any of the? They posted like a golf video or something with like him and Thielen and Harrison Smith and Patrick Peterson. It was kind of like the Vikings version of the match. And they were all mic'd up. Kirk Cousins dropped like his dad energy was out of control in this video. It's like 25 minutes long, so it takes a while to watch, but like certain times he is just like doing so many dad things, like getting the ball and being like shucks I think there was one time where he just said like we're like Men's Warehouse, you'll love what you're wearing, and I'm like, what?
All due respect, that if I were paired up with that like for golf, I'd want to I'm going to go drink in the clubhouse, guys.
Yeah, you wouldn't arrive sober.
Like, I don't know. I feel like this question's been asked, but like, who would you, like, I would like to play with Adam Thielen just to see how good he is. Because like,
he's really good.
He's an insane golfer. He's really good. That would just be fun.
But he lives on a golf course, right? I think he lives on a golf course.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
But the thing that surprised me was Patrick Peterson has always been like, I feel like he's been talking about golf for a while, and I watched him and I was like, not that good. Maybe he just had a bad round. But Thielen's I could see him competing with like Tony Romo and stuff and like those pro-ams every year, because he finished like fourth or fifth this year in that one in Tahoe. So he's pretty good.
Tony Romo would be a fun golf partner too, I think.
Yeah, John Randall, I don't know if he's good or not, but he'd be fun too.
You know, if he's a guy that kind of hits a couple and goes, we're not breaking any records today, boys. Wants a cigar.
He does. He always has a cigar.
Yeah, Purple Friday, man.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's all the time we have for today. We do this every Monday and Thursday at 6:15 p.m. Central Time. You can like, comment, share, ring the bell so you never miss a new episode. For Adam Patrick, I am Chris Shedd, and we'll see you on Thursday on the Viking Age Podcast.